I'm the sinister, Mr. Kiss, my ass is just a renegade. Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to talk about anything,
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 anything.
Renegade.
Never been afraid to say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid.
Welcome to the T Podcast, the podcast about anything and everything from the perspective of one man, and that man is me, T, from good old Boston, Massachusetts. What's up, everyone? Welcome to a special edition of the T Podcast, going up on December 23rd, 2018. And why are we on Sunday? Why am I up on December 23rd as opposed to my usual Tuesday and Thursday? Well, because December 23rd, for anyone that's been a Seinfeld fan, anyone that's been a fan of T-Blog, you know, as well as I know, that it is the holiday of Festivus. That's right. Festivus for the rest of us. Doesn't really rhyme, but you have to say it quick. I've been partaking of Festivus since I launched T-Blog. I've been a fan of Seinfeld. You know, when it ran in the early 90s to the late 90s, I always loved Seinfeld. My friends and I always air Festivus grievances. We all share that episode. We share those memes. We all love Seinfeld. And when I launched T-Blog way back in December 2009, I did an introduction blog, and then a week later, I did my very first Festivus T-Pisode. Not T-Podcast, T-Pisode. That's what I used to call my T-Blog. And what it was is, you know, if you don't know Festivus, Festivus is, according to the show, if you watch that episode, it's the airing of grievances, which I'll get into. It is the feats of strength, where you have to show how strong you are, and then you have to wrestle the host of the party to the ground. And there's no decorations. There's just a pole, one Festivus pole. No garnishment, no tinsel, no lights, nothing. And the airing of grievances, which I've taken into my real life, and I even have a Festivus pole. Used to have it in my old place, have one in my office. The floor we all share, because I have a few folks at the office that also partake in Festivus. What I really keep going is the airing of grievances. And on T-Blog, every year, I would go on there and I would list all the things and all the people that disappointed me from that past year. My personal life, things in pop culture, things in sports, things in music, things in politics, just everything in the world. Fashion, if I could think of it and it bothered me that year, it made the Festivus grievance list. And the airing grievances have been a tradition, and I want to keep that going. And I did it every year straight for T-Blog, and now that I stopped the blog itself, you go back, like I said, there's 400 T-episodes, and you can read all about them. But there are 9 on there that I did every year from December 2009 through December 2017. And now, since I launched the podcast, it made sense to come on here and air my grievances live. But there's going to be a little twist tonight, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm recording this on Saturday night, so it'll be airing on Festivus Live on the 23rd, tomorrow Sunday. So hopefully in between football and your Sunday errands, and if you're finishing up your holiday shopping, you'll listen to the T-Podcast in your car, around the home, at the gym, whenever. And the twist that I am doing tonight to air my grievances is that I am drinking as I air my grievances. That's right. I got a nice little bottle of whiskey that I brought back from Dublin, Ireland, when I went this past May. And I'll put some pictures up on my story on my Instagram account for the podcast, and I'll put it up on my T-Blog account as well, so you could reach it on there and on my other social media outlets. And Rowan Co. is the whiskey that I brought back. I brought back a few bottles, gave them all to some of the people that I love the most. And I'm a whiskey guy. There is the famous T-Episode about my signature drink, which evolved over the years, and the signature drink is whiskey and ginger ale. It was Jack Daniels at one time, then became Bullet. Tonight, though, because of the year I had, and I just want to make sure I get a little buzz going, and I'm not going to lie, it takes a lot to get me drunk. If I get tipsy, if I'm just sitting still, depends on what I had for the day. It's Saturday, so I had a couple of shakes. I had a bowl of oatmeal. Didn't really have anything solid today because I knew I was going to record this. So hopefully this whiskey will get a little buzz going, and I'm drinking it neat. Like my signature drink, there is no ginger ale in this tonight. I'm going to take this all in. I'm staring at it right now. I'm holding it in a glass, my little player's glass that my cousin and his wife got me one year from my birthday. It has all the card symbols on it. It has the hearts, the clubs, the spade, the diamond. And I poured it up to that level, so it's nicely poured. And again, I'll put pictures up there. And it's a great color, great smell. I learned, just like wine, when I went on the tour of the Jameson Distillery in Dublin with my niece, that, I got the window open too, so you might hear some sirens. It's pretty quiet in Fenway. Everybody's away for the holidays, but I'm recording this live when I'm gonna be drinking, and I got to edit it real quick, so there's going to be some sound effects in the background. You're probably going to hear Tigger's little bell or him playing around. That's my cat, if you're not aware of him already. Like I was saying, as I learned in Dublin on that trip at the distillery, we did a little tour. And just like wine, when you pour your whiskey, you don't have to spin it around like wine, but you, to get it into, you know, your palate, to get the aroma, get the flavor, you smell with your mouth open. I never knew that. I didn't even know that for wine. I always smelled with my mouth closed. I just stuck my nose into the glass. But even for whiskey, you should do that. And you get all the aroma, and it smells so good. And my little Roe & Co. Story, when I was out there in Dublin with my niece, the first whiskey that I had out there was Roe & Co. We went to this restaurant. There was a bar downstairs waiting for our table to be ready to eat our first meal, which, again, I'll get into my little Dublin story one day on here. Dublin is a great city. It was underrated. I didn't expect it to be as great as it was. It was fun. We had a good time. Great food. Really surprised. A lot of whiskey. Had plenty of whiskey. My niece had some whiskey too. We bonded. It was a good time. Drinking this right now, I think about some good times and bad times when I reminisce about that trip. My mom was supposed to be on that trip with us, but she got sick again, and she was home at the time, but the doctor won't allow her to travel. So my niece and I went. It was the first time she and I went on vacation, and my niece, this niece was my first niece, my first goddaughter. I had taken my second niece to both London and Paris with my mom a couple years ago, but this was supposed to be her and my mom, and obviously she couldn't make it. So she and I, my niece was 19 years old at the time. She's going to be 20. She and I have a lot in common. She's a lot like me, intelligent. I think with some of the brightest people around. We have that same attitude. We're very ambitious. She's just like that. She's somebody that I could talk to about anything. She could talk to me about anything. I try to give her life advice, you know, and she's smart. She doesn't take to heart what everything I say. You know, she knows what value she finds in some of my advice, and she does what she will. But she does listen to me, and I think I'm one of the people that, which is good to have that relationship. As much as I give advice to all my nieces and nephews, I do really bond with my oldest niece. That we're a lot alike, and she does take to heart the things that I say to her. So we had a good time, and hopefully she's listening to the podcast, and she'll think about that Dublin trip, and I'll tell that story one day, and I'll even maybe have her on the podcast one day. But Dublin was a great time, and the first whiskey I had was a gentleman downstairs in that restaurant, and he had suspenders on, he had a bow tie, he had a little handlebar wax mustache, he had the Irish accent. And I'm like, you know, just hit me up with something. What do you recommend? I've first time here in Dublin. I've had plenty of whiskey. Shout out to Citizens Pub over here in Fenway. They have like, I think, 150 whiskeys. I've dabbled in a lot of them. But I never drank in Ireland, obviously. So I wanted to see what he had. And he said, Roe & Co. He goes, this is one of my favorites. He had it stocked behind the bar. He poured it. And I go, yeah, definitely do it with the ginger ale. He had no problem with that. I didn't know if he would give me a hard time. Some people like it neat. Some people like it on the rocks. I don't know how it would be in Dublin, but they gave it to me, my ginger ale, and he poured it, and it was phenomenal. So I haven't had it neat yet, so I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a sip right now. Let me pause for a little Roe & Co. sip. That's tasty. That is tasty. That hit the spot. Hopefully it doesn't get my palpitations going in my migraines, because that's been happening to me lately, and I don't want that to happen. They came back the past couple days. I'll talk about that in my Festivus grievance and my health. Anyway, I'm going to drink this and get through my airing grievances. So let me get into it right now. Festivus, like I said, everyone and everything that bothered me, disappointed me in the past year will be on this list. I'll air it out one by one. And Festivus towards the end of T-Blog was a way I got to go to the old T-style. And if you're not familiar with T-Blog and my old T-style, it's when I become loud and I swear and I'm a wise ass. And Festivus has always given me that way to go back to my old school T-style. Towards the end of the blog, I was getting a little more sophisticated, a little grown man shit. And I wasn't writing the way I used to. And tonight, you know, the podcast, I'm trying to get to an audience where they appreciate everything I'm doing. But this is going to be old school tea for those of you that have been fans of T-Blog all those years, for the last 9 years. I've been feeling a little bit differently, trying to get out of my rut from the year I had. With the holidays, I kind of go up and down, but I'm starting to get a little bit better. I'm working on myself, working on my health, but tonight I'm going to be pissy. You're going to like it. It's going to be funny. I'm going to have a lot to say. A lot of these things on the list, you're going to be like, oh shit, he's right. And you're going to be like, that's some crazy shit. And you're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to be entertained. All right. So we'll probably go longer than our usual 30 minutes, 22 minutes or 30 minutes tonight. And like I said, I'm not spending time chopping this up. It's going to be raw to the point. Hopefully I get a little buzz going. And you're going to like what I have to say. You're going to be entertained. So sit back. Get ready for the 2018 airing of grievances. All right. First, let me get right into this. Oh, this is going to be tough. This is a tough one. First on my list, someone's close to my heart. Something I love so much. But I have a lot of reasons to have it on my list to share. And that is, ladies and gentlemen, the New England Patriots. That's right. The 2018 New England Patriots. Let me start. Since the Super Bowl this year was in 2018, the Super Bowl that we lost, I say we because they are my team and I'm from Boston. I can say that even though I'm not on the field. We lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. That's right. The Eagles haven't won in a long time. Philadelphia is a city of where the teams do not win. But the Eagles were put together. That team last year was put together for one reason only, and they were built to take down the New England Patriots. And they did. Now, the New England Patriots put up 33 points in a Super Bowl. Anytime a team puts up 33 points, you should win the fucking game. You know how you lose the game? When the defense gives up 41 fucking points, and that's what happened. So the New England Patriots lost the fucking Super Bowl. They could have beat the Eagles. Did anything happen with some bad calls? I could always go down that road and say, yep, yeah, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Tom Brady had a career game. You know, he wasn't on the decline then. But they went into the Super Bowl and they lost. They lost to the Eagles. The Eagles beat them fair and square. And continuing this year. I've been on here earlier in the year and I'm going through the season of the Patriots, right? Saying they're going to get better. They're going to improve once they get Edelman back. Tom Brady's not falling off a fucking cliff. December, they're always dominant. They never lose in December. And guess what? You'll never hear T say this. Well, I say it every once in a while. I get better at saying this now. Ladies and gentlemen, friends and family, anyone listening, I was wrong. Yep. The New England Patriots are not getting better. They are not dominant in December like they have been. I'm recording this going in tomorrow. They are playing on Festivus. There's a good chance they may lose to Buffalo at home. They'll probably win. They've been winning at home. But I'm telling you this, they're going to limp into the playoffs and they'll probably be one and done. Yeah. Tom Brady did not fall off a cliff. He did not hit a wall. He is slowly declining. So much so, what I've been watching him, he may be injured. There's rumors that he has some sort of an injury. I don't think it's the age thing, but Tom Brady is not himself this year. Injury, age, whatever it is, he's not the Tom Brady that we have all come to know and love, that I have come to know and love. Julian Edelman, you could chalk it up to his injury coming back. His timing is off. He has dropped balls. He's turning before he has the ball on open catches that he's supposed to have. Fuck, I should have these catches, but Edelman is not getting them. Maybe because he's off the juice. Maybe because he's off the sauce. Julian Edelman isn't the same. Gronk, that motherfucker should have retired. Rob Gronkowski is not the same. One man could cover him. One man can tackle him. He's running like David Hasselhoff in fucking Baywatch on the beach in the 1990s. And know what that is for those of you not aware of fucking Baywatch and David Hasselhoff in the 1990s? That means he's running in slow motherfucking motion. He's not the same. Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniel, they're not the same. Their play calling this year has been horrendous. With that, they're on my grievance list. I'm airing my grievances because the New England Patriots, the 2018 New England Patriots going into 2019. They're not the same. Yes, the dynasty is now coming to an end. I have to concede that, and I am. And also this year, I lost my season tickets. Yes, they were never under my name. They were never under my buddy's name. My buddy's a guy that knows a guy. We had tickets in one section for 2 years. We had four seats. They were great. Another guy came to the other guy that came to the other guy that told my guy, you like that? Said that I could get you guys two more on front row end zone. We had to give up our other four, and we did, thinking that we would have these other two forever. Two seasons in the old section, we came before the season started. In March, we found out that, again, the tickets that we have for the last 4 years, that we had a dead guy's tickets. Supposedly, the dead guy's brother decided to take the tickets. He went to our guy and somehow went to the mom's house and took our tickets. We could not find the guy. Our guy would not give us his name, his address, because he's afraid we would kill him and he would lose his tickets. That's right. So I lost my season tickets. Now, even with the Patriots on the decline, I would have loved to be there for all these games. Sure, I could buy tickets. Sure, I could spend the money. But that's not the point. Those were our seats. My buddy and I had a tradition for 6 years, driving to and from Gillette, being at this game. Even when the Pats lost, he and I had fun. He was a childhood friend. We would always talk about things going down to Gillette, coming back. And now we lost our tickets. So they lost the Super Bowl. We lost our season tickets. And now the dynasty is coming to an end. You're damn right I started this off with the New England Patriots being on my grievance list. And I say, fuck you, New England Patriots, for breaking my heart. Let the rebuild begin. I'm going to toast to that. Ah. And toasting to that, going into a perfect segue of my next topic, my health. Oh, yeah. After the Patriots Super Bowl loss, it was in February, coming to March, whether it was anxiety or dealing with all the issues I was with my mom, my health went to fucking shit this year. Oh, yeah. I was getting fucking heart palpitations out of nowhere. I was fucking getting migraines. It could have been anxiety. I was not going to the gym because of my health. I was all fucked up. I went to the doctor several times. I went to the emergency room several times. I met with primary care physician several times. I met with the neurologist. I met with the cardiologist. I wore heart monitors, 4 different fucking heart monitors. I went fucking to get my fucking brain scanned. Oh, yeah. MRIs are fucking fun when they put you in that little claustrophobic fucking machine. Had all that shit done. Turns out, this is what they diagnosed me with a few months ago, is that I had 2 separate issues. Could be anxiety, but they doubt it. I got reflux. I'm over here thinking reflux comes from agita, being Italian. That's heartburn, burping, gassy. I wasn't getting those symptoms. No, I wasn't. I was just getting the palpitations. My heart was racing out of nowhere. Turns out, reflux can cause that. Okay. And the other issue was migraine. Not like a pain migraine, but I was feeling like wonky in my head, clouded. Turns out it was a nerve thing, a form of neuropathy, which my mom had, which the nerves in my brain just weren't clicking. And they diagnosed it as migraine. So they gave me 3 different types of fucking meds a couple of months ago. I'm on omeprazole, I'm on nortriptyline, and I'm on Migravent. Yes. And I popped those on top of my regular fucking vitamins, and I'm back on my gym routine, and I've been eating my meals, I've been working on them, trying to get through the holidays and the anxiety, and I was good. I was good for a while. Got a little stressed out. The heart rate was up there during the time my mom was in the hospital towards the end before she passed away, and then that stopped. And this past week, maybe because of the holidays, a little more stressed out. Yesterday and today, and I guess I shouldn't be drinking, but I am, my heart started racing again. And I'm not going to the emergency room because I know what it is, and I just got to deal with it and be aware of the reflux and migraine. So my health went into the fucking shitter this year. And I couldn't figure out what the fuck was going on, and I spent more time in the hospital. At the same time, I was visiting my mom in the hospital. So that wasn't fun. I spent a lot of time in the hospital. I have issues when I go over there now for my checkups because that's the hospital I went through all my health stuff. But more so, that's the hospital that treated my mom before she passed away. So I hate going to that hospital now. So much so that I'm thinking about changing fucking hospitals. So I think my health may be in order, maybe better. Still something happens here and there. I'm working on it. I'm trying to do that, trying to come to peace with the passing of my mom and these fucking holidays, getting through it to get back. Work's going, the routine's going, the diet's going, get back to my friends and family, and oh yeah, the dating eventually. So with that said, my health sucked. So fuck you, health. You let me down. You're talking about somebody who had no health issues his entire life. I came home when I was 6 weeks old and I was a baby. I was a blue baby. I couldn't breathe. I had a tracheotomy. I had a scar covered up with a tattoo on my 31st birthday. And that was it. I went all these years without an issue to my 35th. When I was 35, I got a kidney stone. I caught the second kidney stone. Figured out what that was. I changed my diet. Haven't had one since. Knock on wood. And then I had all this shit happen to me. Never broke a single thing. Been into fights. Had a lot of fucking issues. Car accidents. A lot of fucking physical things happened to me. Never broke a fucking thing. But yet, now at 40 and 41 that past year, my health had to fuck with me. So it's true. Once you hit your 40s, guys, shit starts to fucking go. What can I say? No matter how healthy you are, I try to be healthy. I try to have longevity in my life. Shit happens. What are you going to do? You got to try to go to the doctor, try to figure it out, and you try to treat it. And you got to change your lifestyle and your diet accordingly. Some of you can, some of you can't. I'm a disciplined motherfucker. I'm changing it. I just had a lot of other shit to deal with. So here's to 2019, me getting my health back now that I know what I need to do and I'm starting to do it. So fuck you, 2018 health, as I drink to that whiskey. Watch my fucking heart start racing. By the way, I have a bottle of water handy because I do drink a lot of water and I'm staying hydrated. It's not because I'm a fucking pussy and I can't drink. It's because, like I said, I got kidney stones. So just so you all know, I drink 8 24-ounce bottles a day. Oh, yeah, at my desk, at the office, at home, at the gym. So I got to drink a lot of water, especially when I'm drinking. My skin is very fucking moist, too, because I drink. You got to see it. My skin is beautiful because of all the water I drank. It really is. I don't look 41 years old because of all the water I drank. All right, next on my list. Cancer. Cancer's been on my list a bunch of fucking times. Cancer, you've been on, you go back and look at the old Festivus earring of grievances, right? Cancer took both my grandparents. Cancer took my aunt. She was my godmother. Cancer took May Menino, the guy that gave me all these scholarships to go to college. The mayor of Boston back in the day. Knew me personally, knew my mom personally, right? And I'm still convinced at some point I'm going to get cancer. That's why I get worried about my health thinking in me. Cancer. Cancer, you motherfucker. You came for my mother. You fought her so many fucking times. You tried to take her before. And this was the year that you fucking won. So, fuck you, cancer. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you in the ass. Fuck you. Moving on. Fortnite. Fortnite and the Fortnite dances that come with it. Okay. When I was a kid, I loved my, even Atari. It was for my sister. I took it. I was like 6, 8 years old playing Atari. Went on to Nintendo. Loved Nintendo. Went on to my Sega Genesis. My mother got me when I was 14, 15 years old. Moved out. Got a PlayStation 1. When I lived downstairs in my sister's house, got a PlayStation 2. That was it. That was the end of my gamings, right? I haven't had a gaming system in about 10, 11 years. I'm a grown man. I'm fucking busy. Got a lot to do. But, you know, I love playing with my brother-in-law. I love playing with my nephew when I go by and see him the sports games. I love that. My nephew and I play UFC Conor McGregor. We play Madden. That's good shit, right? I get that, grown men, whether you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, you may want to play the game. Every once in a while. But no grown man should be playing Fortnite, okay? My nephew plays Fortnite. He's 11 years old. He could play that. It's okay. Going on social media, going on Instagram, seeing grown men fucking playing Fortnite, fighting and arguing. And I dabbled in this with my nephew one time ago. Let me see what the fuck this is all about. You're basically a guy. And you can turn all these characters, you pull all these weapons, kind of like Grand Theft Auto, but not as cool. And you're just running in a field. You're just running and running until you come into, like, until you run into somebody else. And then you put on this little headset and you want to talk to somebody on the World Wide Web. You know who the fuck it is. It could be a diddler. So parents, be aware your kids are doing this. Or it could be one of their friends. You know, they're playing. You talk to somebody in your head. And you do all this weird shit. You do those missions and stuff. Most of the time, it's fucking, you're just doing nothing. So it's like, enough of this. I'll never touch this. No fucking man should be playing this game. And then I see now on social media all these grown men playing in. I also see that fucking, they're taking all like these pop culture dances. One, from my generation, the Carlton dance. You could actually get into a fucking little dance motion and do the fucking Carlton dance with your character, which is fucking weird. And then there's all these other little fucking dances. It's this one called, I remember the little backpack kid? That's his name, Backpack? He did a little dance where he did a thing they call flossing. I only know this because of my nieces and nephew. We do that little weird fucking hand motion side to side and wave your hips, right? You could do that with the fucking, your little character on Fortnite. They're a grown man. I see it on Barstool Sports. I see it on social media. Doing Fortnite, playing this ridiculous fucking game. And then they do these fucking dances. College guys. Those are your prime dating and fucking years. And you're playing Fortnite, you little fucking frat boys. Are you serious? Men in your 20s and your 30s. That's when you come into corporate America. You go to entry level, you hustle, you date, you fuck, you make money, you travel the world. And you come into your own. You buy yourself a new car. You buy yourself a nice place to fucking live. You get a nice little fucking wardrobe. You're doing fancy fucking things. You go to all the hot restaurants. You're sitting in the bomb ass seats of the fucking at your favorite fucking sports team. You don't play Fortnite. No, you don't. Fortnite is a fucking game for little fucking kids. You don't play Fortnite, and you don't do a Fortnite fucking dance. So my beef is with Fortnite, the Fortnite dances, and all you motherfucking grown men doing them. Okay? Grow the fuck up. About to take another sip of the Bronco. It's sweet and spicy at the same time. That's how I like my women. Sweet and spicy. Maybe a little dark, you know? Maybe a little tan. A little Italian. A little Portuguese. A little Greek. A little Spanish. I gotta get back to dating. Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't worry, that's coming up on my my list. All right, next on my list. Okay. I had to talk to some lady friends who explained this to me. This was this little fashion. I get into a little fashion thing every year on these little Festivus fucking airing grievances. Women this year, out of nowhere, started showing up all over the place like Mr. T. B.A. Baracus. Mr. T, if you didn't know who he is, was as a guy in the 80s, a black man that was on the A-team. Clubber Lang, also from Rocky. Mohawk, and wore gold chains around his neck. Stacks and stacks of gold chains. That was his look. Muscular guy. He was the fucking man back in the 80s. And Italians, you know, occasionally wear their gold chain, but they put the little pepper, the horn on it, a little gold chain that they have. Then the muscle heads wear the Cuban links. They wear their gold chains, right? Yeah, phases of gold chains. They come and go. Rappers, they got the fucking medallions too that spin and shit. It's spinning, Chris Rock. But women this year started showing up wearing these gold fucking chains. And it bothered me. I don't like a lot of jewelry. I don't like a lot of jewelry on me. I always wear a watch. I gave up my watch collection now that I went to the Fitbit, to the Apple Watch. I got the Apple Watch now. I change the bands of my watch because I miss all my nice watches. I have one hell of a fucking bomb-ass watch collection. It's just that I wear my Apple Watch all the time, so I just change the bands. I have to wear it because of my heart rate. I keep track of it. I want to see what calories I'm burning, you know, so I don't have a need for watches. Women, I like a watch is okay. Maybe a bracelet. Maybe a... one ring, I don't know, preferably not on your ring finger, especially if you're engaged, don't wear that. And a pair of diamond earrings, that looks sexy. Occasional hoops, you know what they say about that? The bigger the hoop, the bigger the hoe. Oh, no, I didn't. Oh, yes, I did. But this year, women started wearing these fucking chains, stacks on stacks, more like three of them. They started looking like Mr. T. I don't know why they decided to do that. And I'm like, what the fuck are they wearing? I'm talking to a couple lady friends. Turns out, they're gold coins. That's right. One's a tight one, a choker. Then there's one that's a little bit longer, and there's one a little longer. These three fucking chains. I don't know what they mean. They're three chains with three gold coins. You think it's a fashion thing. You think it looks cool. To me, you look like you're trying to be Mr. fucking T. Now, I don't know about all of you, but the girl that I'm dating, the girl that I want to be with, the girl that I'm having sex with, I'm not trying to fuck Mr. T. Okay? So this little fashion trend is weird. If you're not Italian, honey, if you're not Mr. T, if you're not a Guido or a Guidette, if you're not pitying the motherfucking fool, stop rocking those gold fucking coins. It's a bad look. It really is. From all of T to all of you, if you're rocking the gold coin, chain, choker, stacker, three chain Mr. T, pitying the motherfucking fool look, stop it. Stop it now. Don't bring it into 2019. Okay? All right. Up next. I got agreements with this guy and his wife. Because I was more disappointed this year. You follow this podcast. I mentioned it a couple times, but it's still fairly new. You mentioned, you follow T-Blog. I mentioned him a few times. And I'm a big hip-hop fan. Talked about that a few times. My favorite hip-hop artist of all time is Jay motherfucking Z. Jay-Z. I got every Jay-Z album. I do. I purchased them. I had them from the CDs. I had mixtapes. They're on my collection. I got the Apple Music. I play them over and over again. All that shit. His mashups. Everything. I love the man. I do. So much so that I seen the motherfucker 5 times in concert. T don't go to concerts often. I really don't. I seen Puff Daddy twice. A Monster Jam and Puff Daddy is Bad Boy Reunion last year. I've been to a couple Monster Jams. That's about it. I don't go see anything else. I'm not a big concert guy. I don't apologize for that. I like... More so because people don't sound the same when they're live. They really don't, especially rappers. Jay-Z does sound the same live. I've seen Jay-Z 5 times. So not only do I have all his albums, not only can I quote every single one of his songs word for word. That's right. If you ever did motherfucking karaoke and you bring T along, turn off the fucking prompter. Turn off, because I don't need that TV screen. I don't need his lyrics. Any Jay-Z song, I could flow like him, just like Hov. I swear to baby Jesus. Anyway, Jay-Z I've seen 5 times. You ready? I was supposed to go like at least 7 times, but I couldn't make it when he was touring with DMX way back in the fucking early days. I had shit going on. I just didn't make it. But over the last like 7-8 years, I've seen Jay-Z 5 times. Okay, you ready for this? I seen Jay-Z 2011, Watch the Throne with Kanye in the garden with my cousin. Bomb ass fucking show. They both did a couple of the hits. They got together to do the joint album in the middle. It was phenomenal. Jay-Z and JT, Justin Timberlake, in Fenway Park with a girl. I'm not getting into that because she and I haven't spoken since that night. And it was phenomenal. They did their own songs, but yet they mashed up a beat and did it together in Fenway Park. That's historical. Then I saw Jay-Z by himself with a girl at the time that I was in a relationship with that I thought was the love of my life. Wound up breaking my fucking heart later on. Got to see Jay-Z solo, put on one hell of a fucking show. Did everything from fucking Reasonable Doubt all the way to, at that time, I think it was the Blueprint 2. Definitely, I think. Yeah, I think so. It was phenomenal. 3 times, right? Then I saw Jay-Z with Beyonce in Gillette. I was supposed to go with that girl, then a break of my heart. My boy came through last minute, the guy that I had the season tickets with. It was kind of awkward that he and I saw Beyonce with Jay-Z. We kind of sat for the Beyonce part, but we were just dumping it. We had the Putnam Suite. It was phenomenal. Jay-Z put on one hell of a show in Gillette, so I got to see him there. It's historical. And last November, I think it was November, 2 Novembers ago, I saw Jay-Z by himself with my niece, my middle niece. I took her to a Bruins game before. I got comp from the Bruins, and I did. It was a long story. I got that one day. And then I got my Jay-Z company suite tickets, and I took her. I wanted to show her the greatest rapper of all time because she's big into hip-hop of this genre, but I wanted to introduce her to something I've been letting her listen to since she was 2. They've been listening to hip-hop, my nieces and nephew, since they were little because of me. But I got to see Jay-Z 5 times. So I love Jay-Z. That was a long little tirade into this. Jay-Z and Beyonce finally put out an album this past year. Okay, Meet the Carters. It sucked. Okay, I'm just going to say that. I really do. I love Jay-Z, like I said. Beyonce, I'm a fan of hers. All their joint mashups together, me and my girlfriend, Crazy in Love, always. The other one, Surfboard. I love them together. This album was dog shit. Whether they're the Illuminati or not, Jay-Z going down this whole billionaire, natural approach, respect the guy for it. He's evolved from Marcy Projects all the way through being a billionaire. He's still corrupt. He's still relevant, almost pushing 50. Beyonce pushing her late 30s. Together, they shut down the Louvre, did ape shit, and I've been to the Louvre twice in Paris. And it sucked. It sucked. That album sucked. And I was very disappointed. You got the greatest rapper of all time and probably the greatest pop singer of all time, and they're married, and they put out an album, and that's what I got. And it was shit. And you two make my list because you gave me bullshit. You let me down. And that was fucking disappointing. And you're on my grievance list. Time for a little sippy sippy. There we go. All right. I mentioned before that I'm a comic book fan. Collect comic books when I was a kid. I got one hell of a collection. Go to all the comic book movies. I watch the comic book shows. On the CW for DC. Netflix for Marvel. Big fan. What made my list this year? Warner Brothers and DC. Joint companies. Warner Brothers owns DC. I gotta say something to you motherfuckers, okay? You got this guy, Greg Berlanti, putting out all these CW shows. Does a great fucking job. These CW shows of Flash, Arrow, Black Lightning, Legends, really good. I don't really care for Supergirl. I think she sucks, but whatever. We'll put it up there. It's all from Berlanti. You got a good job. You got fucking the Warner Brothers movies. You did a good job with the Man of Steel. You let Henry Cavill go. I don't know why. You bring in Ben Affleck to play Batman. I don't know why. You put out Wonder Woman. I know it's. I'm going to say this and it's going to piss off some people. Wonder Woman is overrated. It was good. It was their best movie. Suicide Squad was their second best. Could have been better if it was a hard R. And you're going down a formula where you're introducing characters after you do a team up. Marvel did the introduction to the individual characters and then finally did the team up. You people are doing it reverse. But you got good characters existing on the TV world, but you're not intertwining them into the movie world. And you're giving me fucking bullshit. Batman vs. Superman, which was like a mini Justice League, which introduced Wonder Woman, which gave me fucking Doomsday, which gave me fucking Lex Luthor, was all over the fucking place. It sucked. Justice League sucked even more. The only saving grace was Aquaman. That Jason Momoa, everybody likes him from fucking Game of Thrones. Looks like Aquaman's going to be fucking decent. I hope. Going to see that. Do a review of it soon. But Warner Brothers and DC, you guys just fucking suck with your fucking movies and your plan. You don't evolve the TV world into the comic book world. At least Marvel, on the Netflix shows, makes mention of their fucking, of the Avengers universe in their movies. At least The Gifted and Legion intertwine with the X-Men universe, even though that is Fox. You guys don't do that on your fucking TV shows. You're fucked up. How the fuck you could argue the case that you have the three most iconic comic book characters of all time with Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman, and you managed to fuck them up? Henry Cavill was a great Superman, and you let him go. Ben Affleck is Batman? I don't know. And that Gal Gadot? You got to put 10 pounds of muscle on her and give her the fucking blue contacts. That's all I'm saying. And she would be a more decent Wonder Woman. Not a decent Wonder Woman. You fucked it up. And you disappoint me. As a comic book fan, as a movie fan, you're done fucked up. You're done fucked up, and I'm letting you know. Let me drink a little water. I'm feeling nice. I'm sipping this, taking pretty big gulps. Again, I don't know much of my system, but I'm sitting here, so maybe this is helping. A little ornery, you know? The medulla oblongata. Waterboy. Shout out to Waterboy. I don't know why I threw that in there. I just did. Anyway, talking about comic book shit. This is recent. Disney and Marvel are beefing because Marvel is launching their own streaming fucking service. So, and they also bought 20th Century Fox, which means they're going to get all the X-Men soon. But as they launch their streaming service, they want to take the Netflix shows. And what does that mean? Okay. Well, they canceled The Defenders, which sucked. I'm okay with that. They canceled Luke Cage. I'm 50-50. Luke Cage season one was really good. Season two, not as good. You cancel that. Now you got fucking Jessica Jones season three. When is it coming? I don't know. You got fucking Punisher season two. Punisher was a great fucking show. I don't know when season two is coming. And then fucking Daredevil. Daredevil was one of the best Netflix shows you ever fucking put out. It really was. Comic book show or not. And what happened? You canceled fucking Netflix. You canceled Daredevil. Excuse me. Because Disney and fucking Netflix are beefing. Netflix spited them. They canceled Daredevil. And now eventually Disney will end up getting them back. But we all know it won't exist in the current form. Daredevil was for adults. It was violent. Daredevil got his ass whooped, which I appreciated. So did the Punisher. And now you're fucking that up. And now I know the Punisher is going to get canceled if and when season two ever is. I know that Jessica Jones is going to get canceled if and when season three ever is. And that sucks. Because Disney streaming services are going to have a bunch of fucking bullshit. It's going to have, I don't know if it's going to have its Fox shows. I don't know what they're going to do with the X-Men. Disney's doing a great job with the Avengers on the Marvel movies. Don't know if they're going to do the same for when they get all the streaming services and all these characters. I don't know. But right now, Daredevil was really good on Netflix. And so much so that this past season, spoiler, pause if you need to, they gave me a great Return of the Kingpin and you gave me a great fucking Bullseye. And then you ended the fucking show. So fuck you, Netflix. And Disney to an extent. For canceling Daredevil. I'm fucking pissed. You know what else makes me pissed? Ariana Grande. Ariana Grande. I don't know if I'm even saying her name right. Because she's like a mosquito. A pimple on the ass. I don't know any of her songs. This girl, I think she's 25, 26, 27 years old. I don't even know. She looks like she's fucking 12. She rocks that fucking ponytail. Well, she was. I guess she cut her fucking ponytail recently. I only know about her because I see that shit on social media. She supposedly was dating Mac Miller. He was depressed. He had issues going on. I'm not knocking him for killing himself. That's a sad fucking story. But apparently, you know, he was obsessed with her after their breakup. And now this Pete Davidson motherfucker who got, they both got joint tattoos. He's acting depressed. I don't even know. This mental health thing, everybody's declaring mental health. Mental health's a real fucking thing, especially the era I went through. But I think celebrities like to go on a little tirade on social media, then say, oh, I got mental health. I got mental health. Don't come at me with this shit. Mental health is a real thing. People do suffer from it. But I think in this day and age, with the sensitive era, I'm getting to that a little bit, motherfuckers go to that as an out. Y'all can't self-diagnose yourself with a mental health issue, being bipolar. No. Somebody tells you to kill yourself online and you take it hot and kill yourself, you got more deep-rooted fucking issues. You really do. That's for a little fucking podcast for another day. Anyway, Ariana Grande. Grande like the size of a coffee, which I don't drink because I don't drink coffee. That girl is annoying to me. And I don't know how she's famous. I can't name any one of her fucking songs. And I know I'm a little bit older, but I'm a guy of the people. Tease for the people. And like I said, I got nieces and nephews. You know, I kind of know what's going on. They fill me in. But this little girl, she's fucking terrible. She's fucking annoying. What she's doing to society and all these fucking men, she may be the new Taylor Swift. I'm going to say this, and I don't say this often, ladies, because I don't put you all in this category, but I got to say about her, I can't stand the bitch. That's right. I done said it. Don't get mad at me. I'm not calling you that. I'm calling her a bitch because she's untalented. Looks like she's 12. That little motherfucking ponytail is named after a fucking Starbucks size of a coffee. And she's causing dudes to get all fucked up in the head. And it bothers me. I don't know why, but it does. Because I'm sick of seeing her on fucking social media. Let her go away. Bye-bye. I don't want to see you in 2019. Moving on. Let me take another sip of my Roncal. It's going down much easier. That's what she said. You like that? They'll never get old. Coming up next, coming in hot. Celtics fans. All right. Everybody this year was saying, with Hayward coming back, Gordon Hayward coming back healthy, Kyrie Irving being healthy, them clicking, Jason Tatum had a sophomore year, right? Brad Stevens being a bomb-ass fucking coach. Everybody's telling them, saying early in the season, this was going to be the team that was going to take down the Golden State Warriors. Oh, you stupid motherfuckers. If I had a nickel for every time a Boston team looked good on paper, and in the end, didn't make it to the fucking playoffs. Or they did, they make it to the championship and then lost the championship. T won't have to be doing this podcast. T won't have to be doing his fucking daytime career. T won't have to be pitching fucking scripts to LA. T won't have to be writing books. No, because on paper, it's just that. It's on fucking paper. And you all went ahead and saying the Celtics are going to take down the Golden State Warriors. And look what happened. This team is all over the motherfucking place. They have no identity. They don't know if they want to be scorers, shooters, playmakers, defensive. Brad Stevens doesn't know who he wants coming off the fucking bench. Jason Tatum came back in a fucking decline. Then he got hot. This team was cold, went on a streak, and now they're fucking tanking again. Then as of this fucking podcast, as of this Festivus airing, they had a team meeting. Hopefully they get their shit together. All right, here's the problem. It's still pretty early in the season, but you know what? The Toronto Raptors with Kawhi are on fire. They're not catching the Toronto Raptors. They may come in at another fucking seed. Yeah, it's possible. They have a problem with that. They're not going to fucking go far in the Eastern Conference, let alone get to the West and get through maybe even fucking LeBron, as much as I hate to say that. Get through maybe even Houston. Hate to even fucking say that. They're definitely not beating the fucking Golden State. So, you Celtics fans, you pink hatters, I'm bringing that back. Back the fuck up. Get off social media. You don't know nothing about basketball. You know nothing about this fucking team. The Celtics fans, stop saying the Celtics are a good team. They're not. They got to click. They got to find what's working. They may fucking trade Gordon Hayward for fucking Anthony Davis somewhere down the line. That may happen. Danny Ainge isn't done yet. Danny Ainge just fucking does whatever the fuck he wants. He's like Bill Belichick. So back the fuck up. They'll make the playoffs. If they get their shit together, they may make a run deep in the playoffs. But they're not beating Golden State. Golden State is dysfunctional. They got a lot of shit going on in their locker room that's very apparent. It may be Toronto that takes them down. Sure as fuck isn't going to be the Celtics. Okay? I said it. You can't say it. Back the fuck up. Moving on. I need a sip of water right here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be wrapping up. Got a couple more topics left. Coming to a close. Airing my grievances. My dating life. Holy shit. My dating life. Okay. When you're dealing with health issues, we're dealing with stuff with your mom, you're focusing on your career, trying to get your health back together, you're being fucking depressed, phasing out friends and family, nobody seeing you, you're doing your own thing, staying home in darkness, petting your fucking cat, trying to get to the gym, just trying to work, right? You don't get time for fucking dating. I met girls off of T-Block. I met girls off of, the podcast. I met girls off of the website, social media. I met girls in person. And I just stopped. I didn't want to date. I didn't have it in me. I was fucking depressed. I didn't want to waste anybody's time. I didn't want them wasting my time. I just wasn't funny. I wasn't me. I wasn't romantic. Didn't want to get out there. Didn't want to do my fucking thing. So my dating life sucked this past year. It did. I need to get back to that. I need to get back to fucking dating in 2019. And I need to get back to being myself. I don't know if I'll get there anytime soon. I'm starting to. But my dating life sucked. This passion for all those ladies, some of those ladies, some of them I've been talking to, some of you I casually dated. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I went ghost. I'm sorry that I told you that I had shit going on. I just had to take care of myself. And the moment passed. I can't pick up on any of you that I had in 2018 because I can't go back. I can't. I got too many bad fucking memories. I had a rough fucking year. I got to move on. I got to go back and I got to get focused on my friends and family. I got to focus on myself. I'm doing some rehabbing. So my dating life sucked this past year, and hopefully it gets better in 2019. So moving on, taking a big sip right here. Woo! All right. Chase this little water. Let me check my Apple Watch. Heart rate is at 107. All right, I'm not dying yet. I'm good. All right, coming up on this past year. Okay, I call this the sensitive fucks, sensitive Christmas fucks. Everybody's sensitive this past year. Everybody got a problem with somebody, right? They got something to say. I mentioned it on the podcast before. I'll mention it again tonight. Baby, it's cold outside. Some people are saying they promoted date rape. Are you fucking stupid? It's a song from the 40s, 50s, 60s, where the fuck it was from. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sexism. Okay, you're an idiot. Stop being sensitive. Stop. Just stop. Stop going back to somebody's Twitter from 10 years ago, 8 years ago. Stop going back from TV shows that have been around for so fucking long. From Christmas shows that are aired annually. Like, guys, this is in the fucking past. This is a different fucking era, different genre. You can't blame somebody. Like, again, I said this before. Me and my fucking teens in my 20s, I was a fuck. You can't judge someone for the past. You can't rewrite history. Let it stay there. Take it for what it was and move the fuck on. But Christmas too. Like I said before in my my Christmas holiday movie reviews. A Christmas tree is a Christmas tree. It's not a fucking holiday tree. Back the fuck up. Stop being sensitive. Please. I know I'm airing grievances and kind of contradicting myself by saying not being sensitive because I'm over here yelling and just doing my thing. And I got a little buzz going. And like, don't be sensitive. Don't get caught up that you got to fucking be uptight, go to social media, like, and not live your life. Don't be so worked up that you miss out on fucking some fun, miss out on a good person that you want to be with, or friends and family. Don't judge someone. Like I said, I got fucking friends and family that are Trump supporters, and I'm not, but I'm still friends and family with them. Like, I can't be sensitive. Like, we could argue issues, but at the end of the day, before I leave their house or go home, I hug and kiss them. They're still friends. They're still family. Like, stop judging people. Like, stop fucking yelling. Stop being so sensitive. Like, get your fucking opinion out there. Voice your concern. State, if you want, your stance. Because that's what I do. I'm very fucking firm in that. I believe in freedom of speech. Definitely do that. But stop being so fucking sensitive. Okay? Enough. Enough. All right. We're about 50 minutes in. I'm coming to the end. My last topic. Let me sip of water right here. You remember a couple years ago, everybody had a debate whether water was wet or just water? You know how fucking stupid that is? Water being wet. You remember that on fucking social media? Fucking idiots. Anyway, blast all my airing agreements for 2018. What my major beef is? Well, there's only way I could close this. And I'm going to do a fucking recap in my year in review. It'll be a little more positive about 2018. But for now, I'm going to close this out with my last airing of grievances. My last grievance is all of 2018. Okay, 2018. I lost my season tickets to the Patriots. My health was all fucked up. I did get promoted. I became an assistant vice president, which was good. I had a good trip to Dublin, bonded with my niece. That was a good time. The Red Sox won the World Series. Unfortunately, they're on time. I was going through some shit, but I also lost my mom. 2018. I also got Wesley Snipes 2.0. I love that car. And I also got Tigger. Never thought I would have a cat. Thought I would have a dog first. This little fucker, I love him. Tigger. Who's my pretty boy? He's looking at me right now. I had some wins, had some W's, but 2018 sucked. I suffered a lot. I blocked out a lot of people. And if you guys are listening, friends and family, I'm going to come see you 2019. I am. 2018 sucked for me. It was up and down as a roller coaster. I thought it was going to break me. Little thoughts in my head and moments where I didn't think I was going to get through the year. I'm going to be honest with you. So my last grievance is fuck you 2018. I had more L's, more losses than I did W's. And this last grievance is saying fuck you 2018 and here's to a better 2019. And I will do my year in review recap on 12/27. I will record that tomorrow after the Patriots game. Hopefully they win and I'll be in a better mood. But 2018 sucked. So all you guys out there, right? I'm not the women. I'm not going back to the dating. I had to move on. My friends and family, I'm going to come see you guys. More so to my sister, my father, my nieces, my nephews, my cousin, his wife, my best friend, my good old friend from college, came to my mom's funeral, my buddy, I was in his wedding, all you guys, and my buddy that I started at a company a long time ago, the big guy. We're on the cruise together. You know who you are. I'm sorry for not being around. I'm sorry for the shit that I went through. I appreciate you all reaching out. And anybody else I missed, I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to come see you guys. I was just broken this year, more so than I ever been. And I'm more mad at myself this year for how I handle things. It's just no rhyme or reason, guys, of how what I went through this year. And it was fucked up. So my last grievance is 2018, but more so even at myself. This year was tough. But for all you that were there for me, thank you. For those of you that reached out to me, I appreciate that. And I'm going to come see you. I'm going to come see your kids. And I'm going to come to your new houses. And I'm going to make it up to you. I'm going to hug you. I'm going to kiss you. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to bust your balls. I'm going to make you laugh. I'm my two buddies, too. My two buddies are always on the group chat in my in the Snap, too. You know who you are. In the group chat, for the group of the Chingaderos, you guys know who you are. Some of you were pallbearers at my mom's funeral. Thank you. I love all you guys. But fuck 2018. 2019, you're going to get a better tea. I got my shit together. I got some plans, guys, and it's going to be better. So my last grievance coming in at fucking almost 55 minutes on this fucking last podcast. That's it. That's Festivus 10. A little bit of buzz going. Tigger's by my side. I'm getting better on my health. Looking forward to 2019. I really am. In 2018, Paula, I will be at the grave tomorrow, at your grave, talking to you like I always do every Sunday. I'll probably shed another fucking tear because you won't be around for Christmas. I'm going to come see you. I'm going to talk to you. And I do feel you around. And you're making me think and be aware of what I'm saying and what I'm doing because I feel like you're watching me. And I do feel your presence. I feel like your hand is on my back at times, as crazy as it sounds. I'll talk about that in the 2018 recap. So that's it, everyone. That is the Airing Grievance 2018. Not as pissy as I thought it would be. I'm surprised. But where you can reach me. So this is Aaron on 12/23 on a Sunday. Festivus. Where the Patriots are playing. Where to find me? On Instagram, the_T_podcast and T-blog, all one word. Twitter at T-blog, email t@t-blog.com. Email me, what do you want to see in 2019? Facebook, t-blog, the Facebook page is still on there. And of course, always here on iTunes and the place to start it all, tblog.com. So that's it. My Aaron of Grievances, Festivus 10, in the book, in the books, plural. 10 years of doing this. 10 years of Festivus Grievances, 9 years with the whole fucking tea thing. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of what I've done with this shit. I'm going to market it, turn it into that book finally, remain the fucking a movie, maybe a late night talk show. I don't know. I got ideas. I'm ambitious. I'm going to keep on doing my fucking thing. All right, everyone. You know how we close this out. You ready? Be back on 12/27 for the 2018 sober year in review. But for tonight, until next time, always take it there.
Say what's on my mind at any given time of day, cause I'm a renegade. Never been afraid to holler about anything.